Morning, Tom. How are you?
Hi, guys. Good morning.
What impressed you more, McCourty catching Manning from behind or Ninkovich catching Foster from behind?
Yeah, they were both great plays. You know, we got some very good team speed on defense, and that's what safeties are for. They're the safeties. They have that name for a reason. So Devin can track those guys down. You know, that's why he's on that kickoff team, and he's usually the last line of defense, and it's there's not many guys faster than Devin.
Hey, without question, your team is physically tough and mentally tough, but I think we can add another tough to that, and that would be intellectually tough. By that, I mean Woodhead and Gronk go out in the first two series. You and Josh and the coaching staff made the adjustments intellectually to get that thing going. Is that fair to say it's an intellectually tough team?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think part of, you know, we knew it's going into the game, there'll be adjustments that are made on both sides of the ball, and you know, not really expecting with injuries like that so quickly. We really didn't get even a chance to get into our game plan. So, you know, that's what Josh does better than anybody else, you know, that I've ever been around, his ability to, you know, adjust like he's done all season. And that's just the way it's gone. So, you know, I think we've played a bunch of games now. We've never really been fully healthy, and obviously now won't be. But you know what? We still got a very good team. And when there's different guys that step up and make those big-time plays, whether it's Wes or Brandon or Dion or Shane or Ridd or Woody. I mean, it's Aaron Hernandez had another big game. So, you know, they got to stop all of us, and I think that's what we have to continue to do this week.
Tom, can you give us some insight into how that adjustment works when those two guys go down? You had a number of plays scripted, I'm sure, for Gronk and Danny. Do you continue to run those same plays as scripted with just different personnel, or do some of those plays go out the window?
A little of both.
Mm-hmm.
A little of both. So, you know, sometimes you just, you know, it's a personnel grouping. You can change personnel grouping and run a very similar play. I mean, other times, you know, you're out of certain plays, and you know, I think that was definitely the case, you know, yesterday. And that's football. I mean, that's what every team adjusts to every week. It's rare to make it through a game with every single player healthy. You know, for us, it just happened on the first series, which, you know, if it happens midway through the fourth quarter, you don't recognize
right.
it as much. When it happens, you know, in the first three or four plays, it's a different story.
Hey, Tom, do you know who Brendan Iambandejo is?
Yes.
Do you know what he said? He thinks you guys cheat. Because you, you know, you run the hurry up and you don't give the other team a chance to get ready.
He calls it a gimmick.
Yeah.
It's like a cheap shot before a fight, he says.
I mean, I think we've had a lot of people comment about our team and our players this year. And, you know, I think the best thing that we do is, you know, we ignore the noise and we go out and we try to prepare. And nothing really that anybody says or does, you know, is going to affect what's going to happen next Sunday. So I think it's best for us just to focus on what we can do, and that's prepare and work and do what we've done all season. You know, people want to say things or write things. It's, you know, they have the liberty to do that, but, you know, it doesn't really have any bearing on, you know, what we do.
So you won't make sure you give them time to get ready this week, the Ravens?
You know, we're going to play the style that we played all year, so I don't know what we're going to do. I just woke up this morning, so.
It's funny because in my other hand here, I got a story of all the Texans talking about how hard it was to keep up. Brady James says nobody was set. That's what the Patriots do. We were prepared. It's just that they set the ball down and ran it. I don't even think the refs were ready, which to me is brilliant. I don't understand why Denver didn't do it to Baltimore in the thin air. I mean, you guys just run the hurry up so effectively. It seems to me that the play half the time is almost irrelevant. It's the pace that messes up the other team.
Well, I think they're both important. I think the pace, the play, and the execution, certainly. Like I've said before, it does no good to go fast and not do your job. So it starts with us executing well, being able to do our job effectively. And I think as long as we can stay on the field and make a few first downs, then we're really, you know, we got a great tempo and momentum to the drive, and it's hard to stop us at that point. So we just got to get into the drive, and once we're into the drive, we feel like we're going to put points on the board.
Are you calling the play in the huddle, like calling two or three plays in the huddle, or are you calling it at the line? Because if you're calling it at the line, that's pretty quick, I mean, for everyone to get the play and then execute it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we do a lot of different things. You know, there's a lot of plays that are called in the huddle, or multiple plays that are called in the huddle, and sometimes there's, you know, checks at the line. I think there's, you know, a lot of things that we do that, you know, we try to game plan. We figure out what's going to be challenging for the other team, and that's what we try to do. So it's not the same every week. It's maybe there's some carryover, maybe there's not. But like I said, ultimately, you know, it comes down to our execution. I mean, it's throwing, catching, running, blocking, playing penalty-free, not turning the ball over. And I think I was most proud of the fact that it was a very clean game in terms of penalties and turnovers. And that was a you know, that's when we needed it the most. That was, you know, you can't afford to give up those possessions, you know, or put yourself behind, you know, in these long yardage situations against good teams because they take advantage.
Tom, you said execution is the key in that hurry up and the quick snap thing. When you use a one-word call, whether it was Cougar a couple of weeks ago or Alabama yesterday, is that a particular play, or does that mean something more than a particular play?
It could mean a lot of things. You know, sometimes it's play, sometimes it's you know, it's dummy calls. Sometimes it's, you know, I say a lot of things, so you know, I could say 20 different words, and you know, one means something, one means another, and one means nothing. So, you know, it's hard to string them together. We change them up a lot. And, you know, I think it's part of, you know, and I don't think the defense, it's probably great for the fans that we hear those things. Mm. But, you know, for us players, we just, you know, we know what we're cued in to hear. And when we hear it, we've all got to be on the same page. So, you know, Peyton Manning does a great job of that, too. There's a lot of communication at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, you change protections, you change runs, you change routes, you change, you know, a lot of things. And I think, you know, you just have to do a good job trying to keep the defense off balance.
It seems to me that that kind of intellectual workload that you have dispels the idea of a dumb football player. So I guess what you're saying is it's not unlike a third base coach in baseball, you know, touching his hand to his forehead, going across his chest, tapping his right hand, left hand, knee, whatever the case may be, and only one thing that he's doing means anything to anybody.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. And there's, you know, you have to be able to, you know, our guys have to concentrate enough to know, you know, what they're looking for, what they hear, you know, when it means nothing, it means nothing. When it means something, and we all got to be on the same page. So, like I said, it's important not to confuse ourselves, and we have to be able to play with anticipation. So you can't really, you know, overthink yourself at times. You have to be able to communicate what you need to communicate and not overdo it. But, you know, it's all an attempt to get the defense to be on their heels a little bit.
Right. And
the more the defense can play defensively, you know, the more of an advantage it is for us offensively.
You talked about the rhythm of the offense and when it gets going, you start making plays. Was the lack of rhythm by the offense in the first several possessions a result of those different personnel groups because of the injuries?
Well, trying to adjust, and, you know, we didn't execute very well. So we missed some opportunities there on third down that, you know, we could have done a better job of. You know, the first one I threw to Brandon on the right side. I was late throwing it and made a bad play. So, you know, that's just execution. That's not really anything other than, you know, throwing and catching the ball.
Were you surprised to see a linebacker on Vereen even in the fourth quarter?
Well, they have to adjust somehow. So, you know, you got Aaron out there, you got the two receivers, so, and you got Mike, who's, you know, another, you know, receiving, you know, got another receiving threat for us that we've thrown the ball to in some big situations. So you got to cover everybody. And at some point you're going to try to find, you know, a good matchup. And Shane was a good matchup, and he made a great route and just tried to put it in a place where he could catch it. So, you know, he really played a, you know, huge role for us yesterday. Totally, you know, came off the bench unexpected. Woody started the game and, you know, got injured there on the first play, and it was Shane and Steven throughout. So, you know, that's what we needed. That's why we moved on, because guys really took advantage of the opportunity and filled in and, you know, really contributed to the success of the team. So it was a great job.
All right, tell us what you did Saturday. I know you're preparing for this game, but did you watch the Denver-Baltimore game like we did, and did it blow your mind like it did us? I mean, it was a pretty wild game, and you had a lot riding on it. What was it like watching it?
Well, as a matter of fact, we had team meetings on Saturday night, so our meeting started at 7:30, which was kind of right in the meat of the fourth quarter there. So, you know, we didn't hear much. You know, we heard some screams from the other room, and then you know, we just kept trying to go through our meetings, and then afterward, you know, someone said, well, they're kicking the game-winning field goal, and, you know, we had the TV on at that point and watched it and then just continued our meeting. So it was obviously a great game. I didn't see really, you know, much of it, you know, after the first half. So I saw some of the highlights yesterday morning, but I mean, it's two great football teams and playing when it matters the most. And, I think what you see yesterday, whether it was the Atlanta game or the Denver game, I mean, it's never over. It's never over. You always got a chance. And when guys take advantage of opportunities or, you know, they see an opportunity to make a big play in a game, that's what they do. And that's why Baltimore advanced. That's why Atlanta advanced.
Maybe this is a better question for somebody who's playing defense, but does 77 minutes of double overtime football take a toll on a team?
You know, at this time of the year, I think you put absolutely everything you can into, you know, the week. So, you know, they got an extra day's rest, and I think both of us are going to be rested, and we're going to be very well prepared, and you're going to get our best. That's what it comes down to. I don't think there's going to be have any lingering effects from this last week. Mm-hmm. There's too much mental toughness on both sides and on both teams, from both coaches, from both staffs, from the players, to let anything from last week get in the way of what our goal is this week.
I know you haven't seen the film yet, but I'm just asking you to go back in your memory bank. Of the two deep left sideline throws, the 33-yarder to Vereen and the 47-yarder to Welker, would you agree that the one to Vereen was the better throw, but the one to Welker was the better catch?
Well, they were both great catches. There's no question. I mean, Wes did an unbelievable job, you know, getting his hands on that ball
right,
and making the play.
One hand.
I know. And it's not like Wes has, you know, triple XL hands, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, Wes isn't the biggest guy in the world, but he's got the biggest heart. So that makes up for a lot of, you know, the size differences, his mental toughness, his physical toughness. You know, there's just nobody like the guy. So, you know, we probably haven't practiced that, you know, three times all year, throwing the ball down the field to Wes like that. And, you know, when it matters the most, Wes comes up with it. So, you know, Wes has his opportunities, and he always takes advantage. And Shane obviously did the same thing with a great catch. You know, it was tight coverage, and it was a tight throw, and he's right on the sideline. And it was just it was what we needed at the time. So I was really happy for those guys.
Do you feel sorry for Peyton Manning at all?
Well, I know the feeling, and it's a pretty crappy feeling. So, you know, the part of the competition is one team wins and one team loses. And when you're on the winning end, it's the greatest feeling in the world. And when you're on the losing end, there's absolutely nothing worse. So it's I feel bad for all those guys that lose, but at the same time, you know, the guys that won, they deserve to win. It's a team game. It's a team effort. And, you know, Baltimore was the better team on Saturday.
Saved you a trip, a long trip, too. I guess it's the right team won for you guys. And now you got Baltimore. You lost to them. I mean, we just went over a week, Tom, where we talked about how irrelevant the last game against the Texans was. That was only a month ago. The Ravens game was 3 months ago.
Week three.
Does that have any effect? I mean, do you look at the tape? Do you learn from it? How deeply do you get into that first game against Baltimore?
Sure, yeah. I mean, we learned from the last game, but, you know, it's like I said last week, it's just more of a few matchups and so forth. And, you know, I think you get a feel for, you know, just some coverages and some looks. But we played them enough where, you know, we know the players. We know their strengths.
Right.
You know, we'll just work hard to see what they've done since our game, which, you know, there's a lot of tape to be watched. But they're playing their best football right now, and the way their offense played. And I did see a few of those Torrey Smith catches, and those were incredible. I mean, he had a great game against us, and he had a great game, you know, on Saturday. So, you know, they got a very good offense, very good defense. They got some Pro Bowl special teams guys. They got, you know, a great team, and they're very well coached. And that's why they're in the same position that they were last year. And, you know, I feel the same way about us. I feel the best coaching. We got a lot of mentally tough players and physically tough players that are going to be facing our toughest challenge of the year. And I know we'll be ready for it when the ball's kicked off next week.
Tom, clearly you hate to lose a talent and a weapon like Gronkowski, but I'm wondering, are you more equipped to deal with his absence because you've already done it for seven games as if as opposed to had he played 16 and gotten hurt yesterday and then getting ready for Baltimore?
Sure. I mean, I think there's definitely we put much more time in this year, you know, than we, you know, for example, like last year when, you know, we played in the Super Bowl, it was our first game without him
right.
really in 2 years. So, you know, not that, you know, that's any excuse because there's no excuses, but, you know, you just, there's uncertainty, you know, how guys are going to play and step in. Well, we know how it's going to go now. We know the types of packages we'll use and what we'll do and the different ways we'll try to find, you know, some weaknesses in the defense based on our groupings and so forth. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, us spending the week in time to prepare, and it's a normal week for us. We're going to have a normal week of practice, and, you know, I think that's what guys prefer. You know, we don't the extra weeks, the extra days, you know, sometimes you're just ready to get back out on that field, and, you know, we feel good. We feel, you know, ready to go, and, you know, we're going to need it this week. We're going to need to have a great week, and like Coach said last night, the competition starts today. It just doesn't start Sunday at 6:30. You know, it starts as early as this morning.
I know the standard Patriot answer is we just play whoever they put in front of us. But is there a small part of you, Tom, that regrets not getting another shot at Seattle's Dick Sherman?
Well, I mean, I think what I saw Atlanta do yesterday was pretty remarkable to move the ball with 31 seconds left down the field and on two pass plays was incredible against, you know, one of the best secondaries in the league. So, you know, he's a very good player, and you know, Earl Thomas, I mean, what a great player he is. He, you know, he reminds me a lot of Ed Reed, you know, a lot of similar qualities in what they do. So, you know, they had a great team. You know, I wish we would have beat them this year. We didn't. You know, hopefully sometime in my career I'll get a chance to play Seattle again. But, you know, this week it's all about Baltimore.
Hey, I know you probably long since got used to this or got immune to this, but you pass Joe Montana for postseason wins. Does that sink in? Does that still blow your mind as a kid from out there? And if you went to your like parents' house or their attic, would we find Montana posters or Montana jerseys?
I think you probably would. There was a lot of Joe Montana and a lot of Steve Young, and those were my two favorites. I mean, to grow up as a kid in the Bay Area with the 49ers winning all those games is probably a lot like the kids in New England growing up now.
Right.
And I think that's really where my love for football started. And my parents loved football and loved taking me to the games, and there was nothing more fun than there was nothing more fun for me than to, you know, go to Candlestick Park, and, you know, our seats were about on the 10-yard line, about 8 rows from the top of the stadium. So there was just so much excitement every week because the team won. And, you know, those two quarterbacks, you know, really set the bar for, you know, how the position's to be played. And, you know, I've always admired both those guys and have a good relationship with, you know, those guys. And you know, I just feel very blessed to be a part of such a great organization, to play for Mr. Kraft and Jonathan and the Kraft family, and to play for Coach Belichick. And I've been very fortunate in my life. And like I said last night, I never take it for granted, and I'm just very grateful. I think that's, you know, how I really feel.
The only downside of that Candlestick experience is your dad never bought you the foam finger and made you cry, right?
Yeah, that never happened, but that was okay. Just to be at the game, and you know, we used to throw the football around in the parking lot and tailgate, and there was nothing better on a Sunday. And I lived and died with every win and loss, like I'm sure a lot of, you know, the kids do here now. So it's a you know, it's a great time to be a Patriot fan, and, you know, I hope we continue to, you know, go out and give everyone lots of reasons to cheer this weekend.
Is there any chance you got a text message from Joe Montana about your accomplishment yet?
No, I didn't hear anything. I've been fortunate and lucky enough to be around him on a few occasions, and I have, you know, so much respect for him and his leadership abilities. And, you know, he was such a great player mechanically. I mean, what he was able to do, he was such a great athlete for the position. He wasn't, you know, as big as some of the guys are now, but, you know, his, you know, the way he moved in the pocket, the way he could escape, throw on the run, he had great mechanics. So that was. And then Steve Young was probably much more along the lines of the guys that are playing now, who are so athletic and have, you know, both dimensions, can run, throw, and, his efficiency as a passer and his ability to, you know, play the game and make big throws when they need it the most. That's what, you know, both those guys always did. So, you know, I loved watching him.
And Montana played with a chip on his shoulder like you because he slipped to the third round, right?
He was the third rounder.
Third rounder, and that was an insult. That was an insult and a mistake on the part of a lot of teams. He went way ahead of you.
Yeah, he should have. He was a lot better player than I was. I, like I said, there's been so much development for me based on my coaching and with my experience and, you know, the other quarterbacks that I've learned from, Drew, Damon Heward, John Freeze. I mean, so many of the guys when I was young that really taught me how to play the position. And, Drew was such a great example for me. And I've had so many other guys that I play with that I take things from, you know, guys that I play with now, Ryan Mallett, who's, you know, a great young player. And, you know, I think there's so much to be gained by watching. You watch Russell Wilson, you watch Matt Ryan, you watch Joe Flacco, you watch Peyton, you watch Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. I mean, there's always something to be learned. And I think that's part of why I enjoy the game so much, is because I always feel like there's room for improvement. And, you know, I'm just going to try to keep going and try to keep being a leader and a great teammate. And, you know, hopefully we can go out and just win this game this weekend. There's nothing that would make me more happy than that.
Tom, I know you probably won't wade into this, but are you a big fan of the all-star officiating? It seems to me, to make a football analogy, it would be like you quarterbacking a Pro Bowl team in Honolulu with guys you haven't played with all year long.
Well, yeah, I mean, I certainly don't make any of the rules. And however they do it, they do it. It goes both ways. And, you know, I always feel like, you know, the calls even out over the course of a game. I mean, sometimes they get them right, sometimes they get them wrong. But, you know, we're used to that. We've always done that. Mm. That's how it's been since we were, you know, started playing this game in high school, or some of us in Pee Wee football, and the rest missed calls. That's just part of it. But, you know, the best team usually ends up winning. And the refs, I think, do a great job in the playoffs. And, you know, you see they let us play a little bit more, which I think the players enjoy. There's not the ticky-tack calls.
Right.
I think they let us play, and that's how the players probably typically like it. You see who the toughest guys are. You play physical. It's a physical game. And then you see who's the best team after, you know, four quarters of football.
Hey, final question. Last night you mentioned a couple of times at the podium you were tired and wanted to go home. Does one good night's sleep re-energize your batteries, or does it take more than that after a hard week of work?
Well, we'll get our rest today and tomorrow, and we'll be ready to go Wednesday. I mean, there's physical rest today, but certainly no mental rest.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of it is just grinding through, and there's a lot of film work to be done. There's a lot to see on tape. They're obviously playing great and doing a great job. Baltimore is, and they're playing their best right now. So, you know, there's a lot to prepare for. And they got great coaches and great coordinators. So, you know, it's going to be a very challenging game.
Hey, if nothing else, just the concept of one win away from New Orleans should be enough to motivate and energize pretty much everybody in that locker room, I would suggest.
Yeah, that's the only motivation we need. So that's that's the ultimate motivator. There's, you know, you think when we started back in training camp in late July to get to this point, and there's only four teams that done it, and there were 32 teams that had hopes of doing it. So I'm glad we're one of those four teams that are still standing. And you know, the outcome of the season is going to be determined by what we do. And I'm glad it's in our hands. So I hope we can go out and play a great game this weekend.
Have a good week, Tom. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, thanks, guys.